The following is a lecture for the students of the Faculty of Philosophy, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on October 8th, 2009, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghana Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, welcome to our Hare Krishna temple. I understand that you're a philosophy class. Actually, philosophy is the most important subject matter. In the early days of Western education, philosophy was the subject matter for everyone to study. Even today, the highest degree is called PhD, the Doctor of Philosophy. But the modern-day education has become more interested in technology than in philosophy. Because they're becoming more materialistic. But actually, philosophy is the most important subject matter. So, what is the purpose of philosophy? And the purpose of philosophy is to understand what is the purpose of my existence. That's the real purpose of philosophy. To understand where have I come from? Why is it that I exist? And how can I make the best utilization of this existence for achieving the topmost happiness? This is real philosophy. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita the topmost philosophy. He says, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pachakshavagamam Dharmyam Shushukam Kartamavyayam. This philosophy is the king of all knowledge. It is the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization. It is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting. and it is joyfully performed. Now, sometimes people talk about, well, what's the relationship between philosophy and religion? True philosophy and true religion are actually the same thing. We've forgotten what is the real meaning of religion. That's the problem. The word religion comes from the Latin word religio. So religio means to relink or to reconnect. So what does one relink or reconnect with? One reconnects or relinks with the source of one's existence. So philosophy is the same thing. Through philosophical understanding, you reconnect with the source of your existence. So true philosophy and true religion, they are one and the same thing. So how do we actually do that through philosophy? What is the philosophy, what is the true philosophy of existence? There is a complete whole. And we are part of that complete whole. So what is the relationship of the part to the whole? It's like I notice all of you have hands. Everyone has two hands. You have two hands. Yes. The teacher has two hands also. Yes. Everyone has hands. Okay. Now your body is the complete whole, you see. And your hand, that is part of the complete whole. So what is the proper utilization of the hand, you see? The hand serves the complete whole, the body. It's like you put food in the mouth, you know. Or you brush your teeth. Or you comb your hair. Of course, I don't have any hair, but you know what I mean. So in this way, the hand is meant to serve the complete whole of the body. So by studying nature, we see this is a universal principle. The part is always meant to serve the complete whole. Now, if the part does not do that, what does it mean? It means that it is diseased. If your hand stops working, what do? You go to the doctor. My dear doctor, my hand isn't working properly. I need some. In fact, they have, I don't know, but in America, they have hand specialists who just specialize on the hand. So anyway, you go to a hand doctor, you see. My dear doctor, my hand isn't working. Please repair my hand so it works properly. So, we are like, each one of us is like the hand. And the complete whole, you see, that's like the body. So the perfection of philosophy is to, for the individual self to be in a state of perfect harmony with the complete whole. This is real philosophy, you see, in action. When you can understand what is that complete whole, what is the individual self, and you can perfectly harmonize yourself with the complete whole, then you're a true philosopher. In India, it is called self-realized. So, my spiritual master is a self-realized teacher. There's a statue of him here, actually. You can see this is a statue of him on the back of the room there. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Tridandi, Goswami Maharaj, Prabhupada. He is the topmost philosopher and a perfectly self-realized being. And he revealed these secrets to me. So now I'm today revealing those secrets to you also. If you would like to understand how to make your existence perfect, then just try to learn the science of the relationship between the individual self and the complete whole. If you can learn this science, you will become one of the great philosophers in the history of the world. So, perhaps some of you have some questions. Be happy to try to answer them. Yeah.
What about those who only have one hand and can't be complete?
What about those who have only one hand and cannot be complete?
Yes. So it is the point is, whether you have one hand or you have two hands, you have an individual identity that is a fit. And when you can learn how you as an individual living being can learn how to live in perfect harmony with the complete whole, that is the perfection of your existence. Whether you're a one-handed man or you're a two-handed man, or you're a ten-handed man from some other planet, and you are an individual being and you are in relationship with the complete whole. Any other questions?
If a person has bad intelligence and he cannot understand God and his relationship with God and anything about spiritual life, so does it mean that he has a bad karma, or what is this, his position is?
It is bad karma. But even if a person is less intelligent, he can purify his consciousness by chanting the holy names of God, by eating foodstuffs which have been sanctified by being offered to the Lord, there is a process of purifying one's consciousness. That even if one has a very poor intelligence, they can expand or turn on their intelligence. That system is known as the yoga system. There are many different yogic paths. According to the Vedic wisdom, the topmost yogic path is the yoga of devotion. By understanding that complete whole as the Supreme Person and developing a loving relationship with that Supreme Person, then by His mercy one becomes blessed with very good intelligence. Even if previously he had no good intelligence, by the act of becoming a dedicated soul to that Supreme Person, He gets very good intelligence. In fact, this is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. Te sam satata yuktanam rajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. He says, for those who worship me with devotion, I give them the intelligence that have come to me. So that Supreme Person who reveals himself in many different names as Krishna, as Allah, as Jehovah, etc. That Supreme Person says, if you will devote yourself to me, I will give you all intelligence how to become perfect. Even if you're a moron, if you will devote yourself to that Supreme Person, you can become very highly intelligent men. Yes, you had.
I have a personal question. How did you started or came to this path? Was it inherited from family, or what was the path?
It was from my college days. In my dormitory where we stayed, I was in a boys' dormitory, and the boys in my dormitory, they were very much into philosophy. Instead of talking about football or politics, they would talk philosophy in the dormitory. My roommate was very philosophical. There was some guys up on the second floor also who were very I used to associate with them. They were very philosophical. So we used to spend many long hours talking philosophy sitting around the dormitory. And I really became inspired to try to find out what was the purpose of my existence. I was studying philosophy I took a philosophy course there in my studies, but none of the philosophers we studied had the answers that satisfied me. We studied all the great thinkers of Western history. Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, you know, Descartes, Heidegger, you know, Buber, you know. You know, all the, who was that other one, Nietzsche, you know, all the big, we studied all of them, you know. But I didn't find one of them that really gave me the answer that made sense. So I was searching, searching, searching. What is the real purpose and meaning of my existence? And then in my junior year of college, I met one of my fellow students. He told me about some book which told about the yogis in India. How they achieve this exalted state of perfectional consciousness, spiritual enlightenment. So I thought, that sounds pretty good. I need to investigate that. These Western philosophers, they didn't do it for me. Now let me look to the East, the great thinkers of the East, you see. So I read many books. I tried different many meditation techniques, and nothing worked. I kept searching. And then finally I discovered this science given in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita was studied by many of the great philosophers of the history have studied Bhagavad Gita. It's a very much respected book. In America, there's a famous philosophers. They are called the Transcendentalists. Emerson and Thoreau, especially. Thoreau wrote one very philosophical book called Walden Pond. Walden Pond. Walden, it's the name of a pond. A pond is a little body of water. This American philosopher, Thoreau, he wanted to simply be totally absorbed in philosophy. He didn't want to have to deal with anything material. So when he went into the forest and he built a little cabin for himself, where he could study philosophy, he could write, and he had nothing to worry about, job or, nothing else, just philosophy, pure philosophy. And he studied the Bhagavad Gita in his little cabin. And he wrote some very wonderful words about the Bhagavad Gita. If I can remember them, I will recite them. He said, "In the morning, I bathe my intellect in the stupendous and cosmogonal philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita." It's there in the back cover there, the quote. "In comparison with which this modern world and its literature seem puny and trivial." I found a teacher who is a master of this science of the Bhagavad Gita. He's the author, he has translated Bhagavad Gita. So I studied under this teacher. I became his initiated disciple in 1971. And since that time, I have been teaching this science all over the world. So I'm coming here to Lithuania 4 times a year. 4 because I go to Russia in the middle of it. So actually I come to Lithuania 4 times a year, and I have many disciples here also. I have a number of them in this room here. I have about five disciples here in the room. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 1 getting ready, 6. So I have many disciples here, and I come here, you could say, twice a year, 4 times a year, depending how you look at it. I'm giving this knowledge of how to become spiritually perfect, how to become a perfect philosopher. And we don't charge any money either. If you want to study philosophy at the university, is the university free? Tell me. Tuition they have to pay?
Some have to pay, some no.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But I'm giving free to everyone, you see. This knowledge is totally free. Because my teacher didn't charge me any money for this knowledge. So I'm giving it freely also. I have a course on the internet called the Ultimate Self-Realization Course. I currently have 10,800 people enrolled in this course. So It's like you're a teacher and you're busy being a teacher. I'm also a teacher and very busy being a teacher. I have thousands of students. And this is my wife sitting here beside you. She is my constant companion. So we are traveling regularly all over the world. We circle the globe twice a year, actually, to teach this knowledge all over the world. And we especially like Lithuania. We find that you are the nicest people in the whole world. I don't know what it is, but Lithuanians are the nicest people in the whole world. So, any other question?
Now in modern days, in Western world and in Europe, people who are after spiritual enlightenment, they think that it's some kind of mystical experience, and they even try some kind of to do some kind of things or even take drugs. So, what is in your view? What is the connection between these feelings, mystical feelings, and actual enlightenment?
Well, one thing is drugs are material. You don't use something material to get something spiritual. One does not need to take drugs to become spiritually enlightened. Because your spiritual enlightenment is already there within you. You just have to stop. You just have to become free from the attachment to matter, that's all. But of course we don't stop interacting with matter. We use matter in the service of God. Just like in a few minutes, or just like right now, that I'm talking through a microphone, you see. It's being recorded on an MP3 recorder, so it can be broadcast on the internet. So we're using all material things. And yes, it is in one sense mystical. It is a magical, amazing thing. We simply have to, it is a wonderful, fascinating state of consciousness that one can awaken within oneself. And the recommended means in this age is by chanting the names of God. And a little later on in this program, we're going to show you how we do that. We're going to have a group meditation, a mystical experience together, when everybody is ready. Well, I might as well do it now. It's the perfect time. So we'll all have a mystical experience together. If you just want to listen, that's fine. But if you want to make it even more mystical, then you can chant along with us. I will lead, and all the other, my disciples, they will follow me, and you can join in along with my disciples if you want. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we believe in mystical experiences, and we have them every day. This group chanting, actually, if you dive, it is a meditation, you see. So it's fun also, it's good, it's really cool music at the same time. You know. But if you dive deeply into this meditation, on this on the holy names of God, this is actually written over here for those who didn't follow with them. If we dive deeply into these sound vibrations of the holy names of the Supreme Person, and we really go deep, then you have a mystical experience. So anybody can do it. You can do it as in a group like this, or you can just sit in your room and chant. You can just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So you can meditate in a form of music or just by individual prayer you can meditate. So through this process of meditation on the Supreme Person who's manifested in the form of these names, you can have a mystical experience and directly experience God face to face, eye to eye, you see. And then you really become an advanced philosopher when you can meet God directly face to face. Then you really understand what's going on in the world and beyond it. So, are there any other questions?
Is mystical experiences the only purpose of this kind of meditation?
No. The real purpose is purification of consciousness. And mystical experience is a byproduct. In other words, at the present moment, we are suffering because we are selfish. We don't know how to reciprocate love unlimitedly with the Supreme Person, the source of existence. In fact, we think that we're the center of existence. I think I'm the center. You think you're the center. It's a social disease called egocentrism that all of us are suffering from. Each one of us thinks that we're the center of the universe. We either say it openly or we act as if we are the center of the universe. So the highest purpose of chanting the names of God is to give up this egocentric conception of reality and instead to have a God-centric conception of reality. And mystical experience is the natural byproduct of doing that. Any other questions?
Kaip mokytojai atrodo, ar vis dėlto žmogus turėtų likti savo jeigu jinai aiškiai yra priimtina, ar, ar turėtų, na, kaip reaguojama į tokį migraciją vienu ar kitu?
Nowadays there are many religions, different religions, and it's like products and person can
problems
products yeah,
like in a grocery store,
yeah, and person can choose whatever he likes, he means
yeah.
this or
yes,
this
yeah, yeah.
How do you look at this thing, should
yeah.
person change his religion or not?
Yeah, as I explained, the real meaning of religion is to relink with the source of existence.
Aš paaiškinau, tai tikroji religijos reikšmė reiškia atsusijungti su šaltiniu.
Actually, this idea of many religions is a man-made conception.
Iš tikrųjų, šitas supratimas, kad yra daug religijų, yra grynai žmogaus sugalvotas sampratas.
God has not given us many religions.
Dievas nedavė daug religijų.
We have invented, due to political mentality, so many different religions.
Bet mes jas išradom politiniais tikslais.
All the great religious leaders in history are actually teaching the same religion, to love God. But we, in our ignorance, have politicized this pure teaching, and then we fight and kill each other over it. Isn't it a fact? They're killing in the name of religion. People are fighting and killing in the name of religion. That means it's not religion. If someone is actually a religious person, he loves everyone, seeing them all as part and parcel of God. He doesn't care if somebody's a Christian, a Hindu, a Jew, or even an atheist. He sees everyone as his beloved brothers and sisters. This is a true religious person and a true philosopher. So it's not really a question of choosing this religion or that religion. The real thing is to be truly religious. We don't care if you're a Christian. You can be a Christian, Hindu, Jew. Whatever you want to do is fine. Whatever you like, it doesn't matter. But whatever you do, in that, be truly religious. We are not presenting another different religion here. We are presenting the science of religion, the philosophy of religion. What is the real meaning of religion, and how does it actually work that one truly becomes a saint? So we have Christian ministers who are members of our movement. You see? They don't tell the members of their church that they're Hare Krishna devotees. They do it secretly. Because they're members but not understand. Oh, you're one of those people who goes, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and you're our minister? Oh my God. But see, we're teaching, we are not a different religion. We are teaching how you can make a perfect Christian, a perfect Jew, a perfect Buddhist, a perfect Sikh, a perfect Muslim, whatever religion you want, we will teach you how to be perfect in that religion. So you can pick any religion you want, it doesn't matter, whatever you like. And we will teach you how to be a perfect member of that religion. By becoming completely free from egocentrism and fully absorbed in God-centrism. Yes.
Toks praktinis klausimas, ar užtenka žmogui tik įpras kažkokią filosofiją, teisingai, reiškia, priimti kažkokius sprendimus, ar reikalinga kažkoks tai darbas, kad realiai pakeisti kažką, ar užtenka tai kažkaip skirtingai, nu, pakeisti savo gyvenimo filosofiją ir pasakyti natraliai, kaip taip gyventi.
Is it enough only to change one philosophy to understand things correctly, Or also there is a need of some kind of work and practice in order to get.
If one has proper philosophical understanding, their actions will automatically become enlightened. Everything begins with the mind. First you think, then you feel, then you will, and then you act. This is Vedic psychology. So whatever your vision is of reality, that will naturally manifest in your words and in your acts. We will give you a perfect vision. And when you have that perfect vision, then your speech and your actions will naturally become perfect. Of course, we do recommend some practices which will accelerate your understanding of the Absolute Truth. We recommend that you give up eating meat. We recommend you give up taking intoxicants. We recommend that you give up promiscuous sexual activities. We recommend you give up gambling also. Because these things divert the mind from the pursuit of higher knowledge. So we do recommend certain actions. But actually, if you have proper understanding, you will naturally act perfectly. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, isn't that a material designation?
Mm-hmm, yes.
It has to do with the philosophy and the religion or spiritual life.
It's material designation, yeah.
Yeah. Žmonės, reiškia, dažnai vadina ir skirsto, kad tokia religija, tokia krikščionybė, musulmonai panašiai, bet ar tai iš tikrųjų turi kažką su dvasingumu, nes tai yra tik pavadinimas praktiškai, materialus pavadinimas.
Material designations are to misidentify with material identifications holds one in a state of ignorance.
Ir taip klaidingas įvardijimas arba tapatinimas su materija žmogų sustabdo ir laiko neišmanimu.
Because the actual self has nothing to do with the material body.
Nes tikroji esybė nieko bendro neturi su materialiu kūnu.
Except for sitting in it for a temporary period of time.
Išskyrus tai, kad jinai sėdi jame, būna jame tam tikrą laiko tarpą.
Just like if you drive a Ford automobile, does that mean that you were a Ford?
Pavyzdžiui, jeigu jūs vairuojat Ford automobilį, ar tai reiškia, kad jūs esat Fordas?
Or if you drive a Mercedes, then you are now a Mercedes? Do you become the car that you drive? And now you're a Ford. Now you're a BMW, you see. Because you're sitting in the car, do you become the car? No, you don't become the car. So you're sitting in a body right now also. Does that mean you become the body? Does that mean that you are female? Or that you are male? Or that you are Lithuanian? Are you white or black or any of these things? No. You're just sitting in a female body or a male body or a Lithuanian body, that's all. In your previous lifetime, you were sitting in a different body, you see. Now you're a woman, you were a man in your last previous life, you see. Now you're a Lithuanian, previously you were something else, you see. According to the laws of karma. So, one has to rise beyond these bodily designations. And then you become enlightened. That I'm an eternal spiritual being, in quality one with God, And I'm the eternal servant of God. This is perfect knowledge. Any other questions? Yeah.
Why only specifically Krishna? Why this is considered the God that must be worshipped?
You didn't hear what I said a few minutes ago. I never said only Krishna. I said Krishna, Allah, Jehovah. I never said, I don't know why you're saying I said. I never said like that. Do you think, is God limited? You see? Even my father, he was known by different names, you see. My mother called him one thing. His parents called him something else. I called him something else. His old college friends called him something else. His boss at work called him something else. He had so many different designations. So if even an ordinary man of this world can have many different designations, why do we think God only has one designation? Is God limited or is God unlimited? Tell me. The limited or unlimited? Limited or unlimited?
No. According to the descriptions, no.
He's unlimited. Yes, that's right. So therefore, he has unlimited names. God has millions and billions of names. More than you could ever count. You see, that is God. So Krishna is a name, Allah is a name, this way, Buddha, Jehovah, so many names are there. So you can choose any name of your, that you take any name according to your faith, and you can worship God in that name. That is very good. We don't say you have to use the name Krishna. Just like I'm speaking English language. Do I say that you must also speak English language? No. You speak Lithuanian?
Yes.
So there are many different languages on this planet. And in each language they have a name for the sun. What do they call the sun in Lithuanian?
Saule.
Saule?
Saule.
Saude?
Saule.
The D?
L.
Oh, Saule. Saule. So in Lithuania, I'm a little deaf. But Saule is the sun in Lithuanian. In Spanish, it's El Sol. In Hindi, it's Surya. So there are many different names for the sun. Sale, sun, etc. So does that mean there are many different suns? How many suns are there in the sky? One or many? You tell me. One, that's right. Yeah, there's one sun. What's the word for one?
Viana. Viana.
Vianath?
Vianna.
Vianna? Vianath Sole. So there's only one sun. But there's hundreds of names for that same sun, you see. So, whether you say Krishna, Rama, Jehovah, Allah, Christ also has a name for the Supreme Person. So, whatever name you, according to your, whatever name inspires you, that name you chant. But chant the names of God. That is stated in every scripture, the Bible, the Quran, and the Vedas, the Buddhist texts, and all scriptures. It is said that one should chant the names of God. Any other questions? Everyone's happy now. Everyone feels they've learned something, they've benefited in some way. We have any Anything else now? What's the next program? Sankirtan.
Sweets.
Sweets. So we have some treats for you all. And anyone who would like to check out my free e-course on the internet. I have my card here. Who would like to check out my free e-course? You can, Damodar, Radharam, hand out the cards. Anybody would like to check out my free e-course on the internet, he'll give you a card.